Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary is Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
not, Fredita!
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, Vigilante.tv, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate your support. Please excuse my froggy voice. I just got back from a week in Mexico. We're going to get into that. And lost my voice, but gained a lot of new friends. Hey, thank you so much to our amazing sponsors. Legal Shield has been in business for 50 years in the United States and Canada. And what they do is they take the collective buying power of all of us and direct it towards high power law firms in your area so that you get access to an attorney at a very reasonable amount, like a dollar a day. $30 a month will get you access to the law firm close to you. Average attorney that you'll be dealing with has about 22 years of experience, so you're not going to get somebody fresh off the farm. You're going to get somebody that has plenty of experience dealing with creating legal documents that you'll probably need if you need a will, a power of attorney, a financial power of attorney. Get those things taken care of before it's too late. You don't want to die without those documents and get the state involved in your business. Look, if you have questions about your rights, if you get pulled over and get a ticket for something that you think is kind of questionable, if you go through one of those red light camera things and they send you a ticket, send all of that stuff over to your attorney. If your work wants you to sign a document that you're unsure about, or if they've got some new sort of medical component to your employment contract that you certainly didn't sign up for, you could send that over to your attorney as well. It's not just that. They take care. There's credit monitoring. There's reputation management. There's things like that through a service called ID Shield. If you own a small business, they have small business plans for you that you can sign up for. It's like a subscription service, and you'll have an attorney. You'll have access to an attorney. God knows you need them, right? And like if things are, if someone's trying to push you around, well, now you've got the ability to kind of stand up for yourself, which is the reason why we created the web domain www.don'tgetpushedaround.com. I suggest you go take a look and see all the services that they offer. If it's something that you're interested in and you live in the United States and Canada, pull the trigger on it. I mean, I think it's a fantastic option for all of us, especially if you get audited by the IRS for a W-2 or something like that. You definitely want to have an attorney get involved and help you out. Even if you're like preparing for a trial, you have access to attorneys for things like that. Hopefully you don't need any of this stuff. You'll need the documents. I'm pretty sure you'll want to take care of those, because those are thousands of dollars if it's you and your spouse and you want to get these things buttoned up. You should definitely knock that out in the first month or two. I would suggest that. And as they tell us, equal justice under the law. Yeah, right. Nobody buys that. I mean, we all understand that if you've got a little bit more money and you've got access to high-powered attorneys, then things start to go your way. So let's balance things out. Let's return a little equilibrium here and give us the little guys the protection that we should have had all along. Don'tgetpushedaround.com. Check it out. See what you think. Also, C60 Purple Power, man, the C60 molecule was theorized by Buckminster Fuller and in the 60s. And then this team of scientists actually wound up discovering it in the late 80s, and they won the Nobel Prize for it. It is the carbon 60 atom is like a sphere, like a hollow soccer ball. And it has this unique structure. It travels through your body and it finds free radicals and it resets them over and over again, right? It's the most powerful antioxidant known to man. It's hundreds of times more powerful than anything out there. And Ken, the scientist, has started this company called C60 Purple Power. And if you're so inclined, you can go to their website, shopc60.com, and take a look and see if you find anything that that works for you. Also for your pets too. My cat, I've been taking that for 3 years. Every morning I take a teaspoon of this, and when I get done, my cat jumps up on my counter, licks my spoon, because it's great for animals. They make a pet formula. They also now just introduced gummies, so you can get these in little disc shaped gummies that are really good. Ken gave me a couple boxes. I took down to an Acapulco and handed out to the speakers down there, and the response was fantastic. So if you're in the market, you know, if you're looking for something health related that actually works and will help to give you protection on a cellular level, then I would suggest go to shopc60.com and read about it. See what you think, man. It's fantastic. Can't explain the process of how you make it, and it's very complicated. It's actually you know, I just kind of nodded my head and said, okay, yeah, I agree. I understand. The truth is, I have no idea how you make this stuff, but Ken does. Luckily, he's making it and not me. So shopc60.com, you find something you like, promo code macro, save yourself some money. It helps to support the show as well, but also you'll get free shipping inside the continental United States. And I think that, I think it's a product you might like. If you have an aging pet, some, you know, you're trying to kind of help them out, as I have been, it's great for them. So take a look. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, prevent, or mitigate any disease. Shopc60.com, promo code macro. Well, as you can hear, I am back from an Acapulco, and it was without a doubt the best one ever. I know that the people that put together the HBO document were hoping that there would be murder on the menu, but there was not. There was no murder. There was no drama. There was none of that. It was a well-oiled machine. And that is a credit to the producers. The producers did an amazing job. Kat, Rebecca, Kale, you ladies, you killed it. It was just, yeah. Yeah, you killed it without killing anybody. No, we all had a great time. It was well run, well organized, and also credit to Jeff too. Thanks, Jeff, for putting it on again. I know it went dark in 2021 with the COVID stuff. They moved it. So the first two times I was there was 2019 and 2020, and it was at the Princess Munda Hotel, which is like a touristy resort hotel. I mean, a nice place, like on the beach, and beautiful. And then the ballrooms are like, you know, corporate ballrooms, you know. So it wasn't anything particularly unique. It was just the ballrooms that you have at a large hotel like this. This year, though, and they'd moved it there last year, but I didn't go last year. This year it was at a place called Jardín Secreto, Secret Garden. And that was way more authentic, a better fit for an Acapulco, 100% a better fit. The stage areas were outside, covered with palm fronds and lots of fans out there. They did a good job of making sure everybody was hydrated. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about it, because it's such an amazing time. I was there for a full week from Saturday to Saturday. I documented my my exploits there. Some of it was just really amazing. Great to get to know a lot of interesting people, very emotional, very spiritual, and a lot of that. And then some of it was like, I'm drinking beers on the street till 3 o'clock in the morning with a bunch of anarchists, and it was fantastic too. So however you want to go, we probably went there during this week, and I'm going to detail it because I think that, no, let me rephrase this. If you want to have a life-changing experience, go to the next one. I mean, however you need to go, and I fully recognize that it's not cheap to get to Acapulco, Mexico from where you are, and you got to stay for, you know, a week, and that costs money, and, you know, I get it. So if it's something where you just make the decision that you're going to go and you're going to just put a little bit of money aside every month and make sure you have it, I am of the belief that there is real value in experiences. I don't have a fancy car. My phone, I have an iPhone 6, you know, the current one is what, 14. I don't spend a lot of money on stuff, but I'll spend money on experiences. You know, I have no problem doing that because it's more, to me, it's more important. The stories, the memories, that's impossible to quantify. And so if I have to spend a little money to have those I love traveling, of course, then to me, it's well worth it. I'd rather do that than buy a fancy shirt or an expensive watch or something like that. I don't wear a watch. I don't have jewelry. I have a wedding ring and that's it. I'm not fancy. And the people that I met at Anarchapulco, I think kind of come from the same sort of philosophy. Now, there's definitely some of the crypto guys there are wealthy from their exploits, but just being in crypto early, and good for them, you know. But there was no Lamborghinis. This is not like the crypto. This is not like the Bitcoin conference in Miami, which, you know, to be fair, I haven't been to, but I would assume, I mean, you take Miami, you take Bitcoin, you take, you know, Wen Lambo and all that stuff, and you're going to have a sort of bottle service bros type mentality there to a certain extent. Not to say that everybody is, of course, but there's going to be that theme. That is not Anarchapulco. Anarchapulco has a crypto component. In fact, there's a whole day of crypto, and there's a lot of people that will educate you on that, but they'll educate you on how they're using crypto to circumvent the government in small regional towns in the outskirts of Mexico, so that these people can transact business with each other without the government being involved, stuff like that. So when they talk about crypto, they're talking about it as a solution to a problem, or talking about a network that connects people together, more so than like, how much money can I make on Ethereum? You know, and frankly, they would shit all over Ethereum at Anarchapulco. But I'm going to, so let's talk about it. So anyway, I got in on Saturday, and the event started on Monday, and they needed us there Sunday so that we could get, they took us to the event and they were going to, you know, show us around. So Saturday afternoon was like me just on the rooftop terrace at the hotel. We stayed at, they rented out a boutique hotel for the speakers. Not all of them, but a place called Casa Jaguar, home of the Jaguar House. And it was me. Dr. Andrew Kaufman was next door to me. Dan and Amanda Dix were there. And Patrick Smith. As far as I know, we were the only ones there. It was a small hotel, but it's in this area called Bonneville Beach, which is a very poor area of Acapulco. So there's the tourist zone. You know, there's the airport. You get in, you fly in the airport, and then if you go to the tourist zone, it's like, you know, a 20-minute, 30-minute cab ride, and you get to like the big bay. If you've ever seen the pictures of Acapulco, you know, it's a huge bay with just hotels everywhere, just like a million hotels. That's not where the event is. We were actually Secret Garden backed up to the airport, you know? And so it's a relatively poor area of town, but the people are super nice. And, you know, the streets, like the side streets aren't paved, and there's random Mexican street dogs everywhere and street cats. And that's normal there. And people are sort of mulling around and everyone's really nice, but no, but it's not sketchy. I mean, it's run down, but it's not scary. I made the walk from the venue to the hotel, to the bars around there at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, by myself. And I never felt like I was in trouble. The dogs kind of followed me around a little bit. They wondered what I was up to. They thought I might have some food, but no people ever messed with any of us. So it's not like the cartels were running it or anything like that. Not even for a second did I feel like I was in any danger there. There is one thing that I must say. It's fucking noisy in the middle of the night, because where my room was, it sort of had like a balcony that kind of was right up next to the street. The street is like an unpaved street. And man, at like 4 o'clock in the morning, the dogs in the neighborhood were all having a meeting. And the cats are fighting at 5 o'clock in the morning. And then at 7 o'clock, there's this car that drives down the street with this like speaker and is going, Hugo de Naranja, Hugo de Naranja, Hugo de Naranja. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Right. It's this guy talking. He's slinging orange juice. Right. And on like day three, I was ready to order a drone strike on this guy. You know what I mean? It was a bit much, you know, but I guess that's just how they do it there, man. If you want orange juice, that's your guy. And he's going to let you know about it over the loudspeaker. So you kind of have to plan for that. But all in all, I'm going to just give you the rundown on my experience here. Now, there's a thing that I tend to do. It's just kind of a personal thing. I don't really set out to do it, but it always winds up happening. And that is that I wind up kind of, for whatever reason, and I don't pick the album out in advance, but I wind up kind of like whatever I'm feeling like listening, maybe I'm flying down, I'll find a album that just kind of jumps out to me that I want to listen to. And inevitably it'll wind up being the theme for the week. You know, I'll maybe listen to it three or four times during the week, you know, like wherever I'm going, I'll have my headphones in, I'll have it in my phone and I'll just kind of, it winds up being sort of like the soundtrack to the event. In previous events, like the last one I remember, Alice in Chains Unplugged, which is a great album that of those guys, just like apparently it took them like 50 takes on every song because Lane Staley was so high he couldn't do it. But anyway, the album turned out great. That was like an Acapulco 2020 for me. But this time around, it was Jack Johnson, In Between Dreams. If you are familiar with that album, you know, the album is fantastic. And there's a song, the last song on that album is called Constellations. And it got stuck in my head, right? And there's a reason why I'll wrap up at the end and I'll explain to you why the reason why it wound up becoming meaningful. And I knew, and that song in particular, it got kind of stuck in my head. And then I had a different version of it on my phone, which was the live album, which is Jack Johnson and Eddie Vedder doing it. And I listened to that a couple of times, like, God, that's a really good song. It will play a role in this. I promise you. I'll wrap up with it. But that was the theme in my mind for this week, was this Jack Johnson album. And I wound up going on the Sunday. We went over to the event. We got a tour of the facilities, and then we stayed because there was the launch party that night, and it was called Apocalypso, right? So it was like, you remember that Mel Gibson movie, Apocalypso, with like the Mayans, the murderous Mayans, and it was really scary. Well, they had sort of a similar theme for the launch party this year. And they had this group come in it was like a dance group, but it was like Cirque du Soleil meets Apocalypso. You know what I mean? It was like a really well done. And these guys were, you know, had like their faces painted and mohawks, and they were fire dancing and fire breathing and climbing up these poles. It was like Cirque du Soleil, but happening right in front of you, you know? And it was wild, man. It was just very, very well done. And, so that's kind of how we started off. It sort of set the tone for for everything. And the one of the things that you'll know about Anarchapulco, if you've ever gone, or if you wind up hearing this and deciding to go, everybody's very friendly. Like everybody will talk, people will talk to you. People, and I'm not super chatty to people that I don't know. I just am a little bit more introverted, for which is funny because I do a podcast. But. You know, I'm not super chatty, but people at these events, they feel more comfortable. So they'll come up and talk to people, you know, hey, what's going on? Hey, nice to meet you. Hey, man, where are you from? Or whatever. I was freaking people out because I would talk to people and they'd go, I know your voice. and this happened one time. Actually, it happened on the Sunday when we were on our way over. I got into the shuttle that was taking us from the Casa Jaguar to the Secret Garden, and Patrick Smith, who is in the front, he's the host of Disenthrall and also the host of Anarchast, and also the voice of my audiobook, The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire with Berwick. He did the voiceover for that. So he's the voice of the audiobook. So I know Patrick, but I'd never met him in person. And I go to get in the van, and Dan Dix is in the back with Amanda. And I recognize Dan because I know his work, and I've been watching his work for years. And I'm like, oh shit, Dan Dix, you know? I get in, and I say, hey, Patrick, what's up? What's going on? And all of a sudden, Dan's wife, Amanda, says, oh my God, I know exactly who you are from your voice. I listened to you at work. I was like, oh my God. Yeah. So it was very like flattering and cool, you know, and that kept happening all week long. People would either maybe recognize me from watching the show, but mostly it was like, I listened to it and I hear your voice and now I know who you are because of that. So, so to those of you that I met at Anarchapulco who came up to me, thanks for coming up. It was fun to talk to you all. I was blown away that you even knew who little old me was, but it happened more and more, and it was cool, but I wasn't really, you know, expecting it, and it happens. Obviously, Jeff gets swamped, but it was the first time that anything like that had ever happened to me, and I was just kind of like trying to be cool about it, but I was kind of like very kind of freaked out on the inside. I was like, wow, this is, I guess I'm not talking to myself in my, you know, in my basement, right? I guess maybe other people are listening. So, so day one, okay, what happened? So day one, it's a packed house, right? It's, I don't know what the final totals were, but I was hearing numbers like 750, 700, 750 people there, or whatever. It's big. I mean, the facility does not hold that many people. You couldn't stay there at Secret Garden. You had to get an Airbnb or a hotel down the street somewhere. But day one, I was batting second. So it was good because I had a full house, and it was good because I was able to go and get that done and then be able to watch everybody else. So I went second. I did my presentation, The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire, and talked about, you know, how the book came about with Jeff and why we wrote it. And if you've read it, you know what's in it, then, and I don't need to go into too much detail. And, when we got done, then we had a book signing, kind of off to the side, and everybody came, anybody that wanted to buy a book, we had a table set up, and we had Lucy, of course, Jeff's little chihuahua, and some guys there that helped us with the process. And we got people in a single file line, and we signed books and took pictures and did all that. And it was a blast, man. It was cool. We sold out, like we sold out so fast. We had a huge line. We had three times as many people in line than we had books, and we could kind of eyeball it. And I was like, oh shit, we're going to make some people mad. So we wound up kind of having spreading the word to those in the back. Like, I don't think we're going to get to everybody, but it was amazing. And then what they did is they took one of the signed copies and auctioned it off. And that was a thing that they did. So Narcopulco is not just this event. One of the things that they're very interested in doing is charity work for a orphanage in Bonfell Beach that is right down there. It's called the Marsh Home Orphanage. And they would incorporate the kids from the orphanage would come each day to the event. And in between speakers, sometimes they would have them up on stage and they would do like dance routines or little hula hoop dances and things like that. And all of the speakers that presented there were encouraged to donate items or services and things that they could contribute that would be auctioned off. And the half the proceeds went towards an Acapulco to put it on next year. And the other half went towards the orphanage. And I think, I don't know the ultimate totals. I heard some numbers. It was quite a bit of tens and tens of thousands of dollars was raised for it. It was really great, man. I felt good about that. So anyway, they auctioned off the book for, I think, $300. They make an NFT of my presentation and auctioned that off. So somebody has an NFT of my presentation. And thank you for buying that. That's not money I see, of course. That goes to this fund. And so, you know, then we got done with the book signing and all that good stuff. And then I was free. You know, I was free to go watch everybody else, which is really one of my favorite parts is that I get this opportunity. I get a week in Mexico to see who's speaking after me. So that's Patrick Smith, like I mentioned, the disenthrall. And Patrick's a hard guy to miss, you know. He's like 6'8", you know. He's this really big imposing guy from Texas, but he does peaceful parenting. You know, he teaches classes on peaceful parenting, and he open carries his gun while he serves food to the homeless in Dallas parks and places like that. So a tremendous human being, a real asset to humanity. And he'll be on this show. He's been on before. You can find an episode I did with him, but he'll be coming back on. And then I watched Dan Dix. Dan's going to be coming on as well. We worked all this stuff out in advance. Dan is from Press From Truth, Canada, pressfortruth.ca in Canada. He's done a lot of work on lockdowns, trucker convoy, that Jessica Yavin. Remember her, that transgendered lunatic who was going into all of the waxing places in Canada and saying, "I want you to wax my balls." And these like Cambodian women that were working there were like, "We don't do that for men." And she's like, "I'm a woman. I'm suing you." And started suing all of these waxing places in Canada. And then the judge wound up coming after her and said, "You know, I'm going to throw you in jail, you fucking maniac." And so anyway, Dan was knee deep in all that. You know, Dan was doing that like a year and a half, 2 years ago. So, but I've been watching Dan's stuff for a long time, and where he would go to Bilderberg with Luke and Berwick, and they'd film Kissinger and film Rockefellers or Rothschilds and all of them there. That's Dan Dick. So Larkin Rose, watched him do his presentation. Larkin Rose is The Most Dangerous Superstition. It's his book, one of the best books ever written about how corrupt government is. Larkin Rose hates the government, and he's got a million reasons why, and he can articulate it in a way that makes a whole lot of sense, too. So we had a great time watching him. Max Egan was there. Max Egan lives there. I'll tell you a little bit more about Max in a second, but Max gave a presentation, and Max is you know, if you don't know who he is, he's a 65-year-old Australian gentleman who looks like a shaman, you know, shaved head, big white beard, little round spectacles, you know, and he talks about, he'll do walk and talk videos. You can find his channel, The Crow House, and he's been doing it for, oh God, I don't know. He's probably been doing it forever, but I only know about his stuff for the last 12 years or so. And I met him at Benny Will's wedding back in 2019, but but I didn't get to even really spend too much time with him until this trip around. But Max is great. He says, he goes up on stage. He says, hello. Of course, everybody knows who he is. He gets a gigantic round of applause. He says, I'm going to start this presentation the way I start every presentation I've ever given at an Acapulco. Fuck the government, you know, and everyone just goes crazy, right? And let me tell you, Max Egan hates the government, and he also has some compelling ways to describe why you should take a look at becoming somebody that doesn't participate in government-sanctioned events. He's just a brilliant guy, and I really have always loved his work. So you know, to watch this. This is so the you know, it's me, Patrick Smith, Dan Dix, Larkin Rose, Max Egan, and then Dr. Ron Paul. I was like, hey man, I'll bat second in this lineup all day long. I don't care, man. But Ron Paul was definitely the cleanup hitter here. He comes out and he talks about obviously liberty and freedom, and we've got to do that, you know. And he's Ron Paul, and he gets, but he was on a particular heater about cultural Marxism, and he just went to town, man. I'll tell you, Ron Paul, you wind him up and let him go, and he makes a lot of sense. And as somebody that was on the inside, and he's talking about, we got to abolish the CIA. We have got to get rid of the FBI. And this is like, this crowd is just going apeshit, right? And it's standing room only when Dr. Paul is there. And we watched that, and he was fantastic. The third time I've been to an Acapulco, the third time that Ron Paul has been there when I was there. So every time I get to see him, every time I'm grateful to hear what he has to say. This was the only time I got to do the dinner though. So then Jeff's like, hey, you want to go have dinner with him? I was like, fuck yeah, I do. Let's go, man. So we went to the dinner. There's down on the beach, and it wasn't. You know, it was like semi-private, you know, there were some people that had paid to be a part of this dinner, you know, to sort of, again, it's all charity. It's this money going towards for the orphanage. But if you wanted to sit at Ron Paul's table with him for dinner, you know, you could pay some money, we did that and had a good time, had a great dinner and listened to, and he gave a speech at dinner again too. He was still pissed off and fired up about cultural Marxism. And I'm with him, man. I mean, God knows, you've heard enough of my episodes to know you don't need to twist my arm to get people you know, to hear me ranting and raving about cultural Marxism as well. But when Ron Paul does it, it catches me a little bit off guard, because he's 84 years old, and I expect him to kind of just be like, I don't know, sort of over all this stuff. And he's not. He's still angry. And I love that anger, man. I love it, because he's really trying to fire up the base. And he's not saying, you know, we need to, you know, next election, we need to vote these people out of, I didn't hear vote one single time out of Ron Paul's mouth. He's not talking about voting. He's talking about doing something. He's talking about doing something about these people. They're going to destroy the government. He said, the government is captured. The government is gone. And don't worry about that. They've already destroyed the government. You need to worry about them destroying the country. You know, you need to make sure that this sickness doesn't spread. It's like a contagion. You know, you have to stomp it out. So don't listen to any of these people, these cultural Marxists, and you stand up against them and slam the door in their faces and shout them out. And you do not give them a home. I was like, holy, I was ready to run through a fucking brick wall for Ron Paul. You know what I mean? So it was fantastic. So anyway, the dinner was fantastic, but it reminds me that I have to mention one of the things I said in my speech was, I was explaining to people, I asked the audience how many people, it was their first time at an Acapulco. And like, it looked like probably like 2/3 of the people, it was their first time. And so I said, I'm going to give you guys all permission to come out of your shell this week. You know, if you're an introverted person who normally doesn't talk to people, like, it's okay for this week. you can put that aside. You're going to be the person that goes out and talks to somebody and says, hey, where are you from? And where are you? Hey, what are you doing? You're working on this project? Cool. Tell me about it. Here's who I am. This is what I'm working on. And start networking. And I explain this story. I explain how like so many of the people that I've had on this show and how many people that I still am like friends with, I met in Anarchapulco. And I give this example of 2019, the DMT ceremony, the Jaguar ceremony that we did at Princess Mundo with the shaman. They take you into this room, right? And there's like 30 of us. And they say, the way we are doing this is we're doing this in partners up groups of two. So one person goes first and the partner watches him and makes sure that they have water and make sure that they're, you know, that everything's good, because the person on the DMT will be blindfolded. You know, they'll have a mask on, they'll be laying down. So one person's going to watch while the other person does it. And then the other person's going to watch while their partner does it. So I got partnered up with just the person next to me. And I said, what's your name? He says, Johnny Dollar. And I said, well, what do you do? He says, I'm an artist. I said, well, what kind of art? And he says, post-pop surrealism. I go, what the fuck does that mean? He says, I've got a painting of Mickey Mouse holding a gas canister with a Bitcoin logo on it and a lighter in his hand. And over his shoulder, he's lit the central bank on fire, and the whole central bank is on fire. I was like, oh my God, like you and me, we're going to be friends. Like, holy shit, that is right up my alley. You know, this is great. So I met Johnny Dollar at the DMT ceremony. We were partners for that. And then he showed me all his art, and his art was fantastic. That was 2019. 2020, I come back. He's back again. This time he's a speaker. Now he's one of the world's world-renowned crypto artists, right? I had no idea. He's one of the most sought-after crypto artists in the entire world. Like, he was in Art Basel in Miami Beach in 2021. He had his own like studio space, his own cabana, and celebrities were coming in and wanting to buy his art, and you know, all crazy stuff, right? So he's just like, he's given a presentation on art, you know, in 2020. So I see him, hey, good to see you again, man. You know, we give a big hug, and then I had him on Macroaggressions. He was on maybe 2 years ago talking about art, and just, you know, that's just sort of the type of people that you'll meet when you're at an Acapulco. You'll just randomly get partnered up with some dude who's like the world's leading crypto artist, and you guys during a DMT ceremony, and you guys will wind up being friends and stay friends, you know? So I'm telling this story to the crowd, and with the intention of, put yourself in these situations where you're going to meet people that you wouldn't normally talk to, you know, just do that, and good things come. So I'm at the Ron Paul dinner, right? The dinner's wrapping up. I'm with some people, and they go, I said, where are we going? Where's the party, you know, afterwards? And they said, well, we're going to Max Egan's bar. So if you guys know the story, Max Egan lived in Australia, and the Australian government is a tyrannical, authoritarian, psychopathic government, as we all know, and they were coming for him. They were looking for him. And he said to Jeff years, like I guess a couple years before, if I ever give you the code word, I forget what the code word was, but it was something like black hole, you know, like if I ever do a video and I say, and I use the word black hole, then... And I'm making that up because it wasn't black hole, but it was something similar to that. And somebody could probably correct me on it, but I don't remember what it was. If you hear me say that in a video, it means I'm leaving. I'm on my way out. That's my code word that you need to find me in Acapulco at the airport at some, you know, sometime soon. But I'm coming, and you're going to know that message. So anyway, Max does a video where he says, you know, things are crazy here in Australia. I feel like I'm getting sucked into a black hole, you know, and that's the code, right? And then next day, boom, Max is gone in the middle of the night, leaves his house, takes everything he can carry with him, gets out of Australia, winds up flying some crazy route through Singapore and Dubai, I don't know, all these places, winds up in Acapulco. And there's Jeff. Because Jeff got the message. Jeff is like, good, welcome to Acapulco, baby. You're staying, right? So he stays with Jeff for a couple months and then finds this this guy owns a bar down on the beach in Bonneville Beach, and this guy has just mismanaged it and he's done with it. And he says, I'm ready to sell. I want to sell this bar. And so Max is like, I'm going to buy. I don't know how to do much, but I know how to run a bar. So Max buys the bar, right? So now there's a bar right next to where this Ron Paul dinner is. We're going to go to Max's bar, and it is called, Max's bar is called Casa de los Cuervos, which translates to the Crow House, right? And that's the name of his show, the Crow House. So if you go to Casa de los Cuervos, you will find Max Egan running around. So we leave the Ron Paul dinner. I'm going with these guys that I just met. Everybody's brand new friends. You know, we're cutting through one. We're going from one street down the next. I hear the music, right? I hear, and I can tell there's just like a huge party going on. And there's all these people like out in the street, like sitting on plastic chairs and tables. And there's like a beer tub out there. I come around and the first person I see is Johnny Dollar. I go, what the fuck are you doing here? You know, he jumps up and gives me a big hug. I go, oh my God, you're here. I didn't think you were going to be here this year. He says, I'm not actually at the event. I go, well, what are you doing? He goes, I live here. I go, you live in Acapulco? He goes, no, I live above Max's bar. I live next to Max. And I was like, what the hell? Like, of all the people to see, I come around the corner and it's Johnny Dollar. And I just gave the speech earlier that day about you got to put yourself in these situations because these synchronicities will just start popping off. And I come around the corner and then there's Johnny Dollar. And he's just one of my favorite people in the world. He's just one of the greatest guys ever. And we're talking and he says, come on here, I will get you some beers. And we're drinking beer till 3 o'clock in the morning. And I couldn't have had a better time with Johnny. We caught up on old times, but it turned into the after party the whole week. Everybody wound up at the Crow House for the after party. So we get to day two, we move on, we show up. I hit it pretty hard that night, but it's okay because it's Acapulco you just sweat it all out. Next day is health, spirituality, and sacred activism. This is called Anarcho-awakening. This is that's sort of the theme for the day. The first day was fuck the government day, I guess. I don't know if they officially call it that, but it might as well have been called that. The second day, you've got people like Eileen McCusick, who wrote a book called Electric Body, Electric Life, talking to you about tuning. And they have kids camps going on during this with circus rings and juggling and hula hoop performances. And Becca Tiscani is there. She's talking about how she's this real, real cool lady that lives in Ecuador. And she was explaining how she used her activism to get the entire Ecuadorian province to stand down on mask mandates, just her all by herself. You know, this sweet lady who was just done with it all. She explained how she was able to make that happen. There's this dude who I saw him every night. Every day I was there, and I wound up talking to him a bunch of times too. He's kind of impossible to miss, right? 6'6", 260 maybe, no shirt. He had these like flowing kind of pants, but no shirt, but like a big robe over, you know, like a big shaman robe and a shaved head and a big long beard, you know? And I was like, holy crap. Like, this dude has a vibe going on, right? You know, like, I was like, I just kept noticing him at the event, right? And then they had this area, it was a green room, and it was for the speakers, and it was off the beaten path where you couldn't, you needed a wristband, a certain wristband to have access to it, but fuck, you could barely even find it, even if you were looking for it. But they showed us early on where it was, and you'd go through this little path and you'd wind up in this like little two bedroom condo with a living room, and it was air conditioned and you could leave your bag there and it had really good internet. And so I did interviews from that spot, and I kept coming and going, and I'd see this guy sitting there, and he just had this like, I don't know how to describe it, man. He just had this fucking aura about him that was really, it was great. But he was like he was like almost like a cartoon character. He was so like, he looked like a shaman. And it turned out he was a shaman. And I meet him and he goes, hello, my name is Bearheart. And I was like,
Bearheart. Holy shit. And I sat and talked to this guy for like 20 minutes, man. What a trip, man. He was the guy that would do like, he would do the ayahuasca retreats and things like that. Just an amazing, you just felt like, you felt like you were calm just because he was calm. You know what I mean? He took my blood pressure down a couple points just from standing next to him. You know what I mean? I really liked the guy. I mean, I thought he was fantastic, but he looked like he could have been playing middle linebacker somewhere. I mean, he was just a huge dude. And that was sort of like the scene, you know, the green room area was the scene. I walked by one day, there's this dude who's just patiently rolling a joint, right? You know, and he's like, and I look at him and there's just a bowl. They've got like a bowl sitting there and it's just filled with joints. I mean, there must've been a fucking 50, 70 joints or whatever. He's like, take a couple if you want. I was like, oh my God, cool. So like, that was kind of the vibe back in the green room. And this area had a big pool, a big cenote, a place where a natural rock formation wound up filled in with water, and you could just go swimming in this thing. And they had built a big diving platform. So like, I didn't do it, but if I had gotten done with my speech, I could have put my stuff back there, taken my shirt off and just jumped in the pool. It was wild, man. It was going on. So that was what was going on day two. And one of the smart things they did, and this was Rebecca, one of the producer's ideas, was that they have, there's a massive Australian audience and both physically there and also streaming the event live. And obviously when you're talking about time zones, they're sleeping while we're actually doing our live event. So what they did was they had Australian speakers that were pre-recorded and they were running at like midnight till 5 a.m. in Acapulco when it was noon in Australia. So Australia people that were watching the live stream were getting their own version of it. And then they were getting recaps. They were getting replays of everything else at night from the Acapulco when it was live. So it was like you had access to great content no matter where you were on the planet. They took that into account because they knew that this audience was so global. So, and like, you know, I have to shout out some of the guys like at Max's bar, there's Brad, the fireman from San Francisco, who told me the craziest ass stories. You know, I did a show, the new streets of San Francisco. So I'm asking Brad, the fireman, about like, what's really going on? Like with the homeless situation there, is it true? You know, I mean, I know it's true, but I mean, like, tell me about how true it is. And he said that like on a daily basis, they put out like a half a dozen car fires. They just soak them with water, take chainsaws, cut them into like small pieces, these burning cars, and then just leave and then just move on. And he's like, oh, it's just junkies lighting shit on fire, lighting other junkies on fire, you know, people ODing every day, 50 times a day. You know, he said it's just madness. It's just utter madness. So it was great to hang out with Brad. I talked to Dennis O'Connell. He's an Irishman living in Australia. He's going to be on the show as well. He's a health practitioner, and he had all kinds of amazing tips for me. I was like, he was talking to me about, oh, you got to do this and change this and make sure you don't put your cell phone in your pocket. And let me explain how this works and how that works. And of course, this is, you know, 2:30 in the morning. I've been drinking beers all night long. I'm like, I got to have you on the show. So he's going to be on the show, and then you'll probably hear the story again. I'll say, this is the guy that I was drinking beers all night with. Because if there's one thing I know, it's Irish guys that live in Australia, they know how to drink. Okay. And I am an amateur. Okay. So I was put to shame by him. But day three came around. That's crypto stage. Rafael Laverde was there from Crypto Vigilantes, Jeff's partner on that. He's a guy that understands how crypto works in a way that is, that I could never. I just don't have that skill set. Michael Fitzgerald was there. He did a presentation called the Monero Standard. I saw a really interesting presentation on the spatial web. never heard of that term before. The spatial web is like a 3D metaverse future of the internet. It was interesting to show like how the internet has evolved and where it's going. And this doctor, she talked about how it's going to become very normal for us to have our own AI personal assistants pretty soon. And they weren't saying like in 20 years, this was like in 3 years, you'll have an AI personal assistant that you'll say like, book me dinner reservations, travel plans, book me hotel rooms, you know, all that stuff. And you just tell it and it'll do it all for you. So that's coming. And it'll be the way she put it is everybody will have that. It won't be like only the rich have this. It'll be like, no, everybody, just have your assistant do it, your virtual assistant do it. Now, you may not want to do that, but it will be available. So, and the way the graphics, you know, the way they showed how everything works was pretty impressive. You know, they talked about the role of cryptocurrency. Obviously, it's the three legs of the stool. You've got the anarchy component, you've got crypto, and then you've got the health and wellness. And when you talk about the crypto side, they brought in the heavy hitters, man, people that know a lot about this. So I just sat and took notes. I sat out in the sun on day three and had some beer. Everything was just like, you know, drink your water, make sure you don't get dehydrated, have some beers, you have some tacos, do all that, but stay around the main stage and learn. And that was my plan going in. And I learned about there's this place called Tumen in a Mexican city that is experimenting with alternative money. It kind of looked like Monopoly money. I mean, it was kind of colored like Monopoly money. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the US dollar is Monopoly money, but this kind of looked sort of like it. And they explained how they were getting this very, very poor city of Tumen on board with this new. It was like basically shopping on the company store, but it wasn't the Rockefellers running it. It was just this town was doing an experiment, and it was so successful it caught on to 27 other towns with this form of money. It's almost impossible for me to do it justice by trying to explain it, but I watched the presenter do, you know, his talk on it, and he's a guy who's from the town, and he had to have a translator with him so that they could, you know, they can really make sure they got the message correct. But it shows what alternative thinking can do for some of these really poor towns, and these retailers were thriving because of it. And most importantly, the money was staying inside that community and it wasn't leaving the community, which was a lot of times what happened. So, you know, because everything needs to kind of be imported in. And so these guys had found a way to make this money sort of recirculate through their own system. It was fascinating to listen to. Danny Sessom was there. He's the host of the Crypto Show. And Danny was talking about rebuilding earthquake damaged buildings using crypto funds, and he showed a video. He videoed what he saw there and how involved he was with that. Colin Cantrell was there from a company called Nexus. He was working on this technology called Hush, which is like it's a privacy cryptocurrency that has like a messaging component to it. Very interesting. This dude is off the charts smart. And he played the harp at the Ron Paul thing too. You know, you don't really see like a 32-year-old guy, kind of long hair, kind of looks like he'd probably be surfing or anything. Not exactly what you would picture when you think of people that play harp, but he was killing it at Ron Paul. Later that night, James Patrick showed a clip from his film about the Dutch farmers. That was wild. I mean, a really well done film showing how crazy it's getting in the Netherlands with the horse, you know, the cow farts and the nitrogen, and how they're coming after the farms. They're straight up, they want to take access. They want to take ownership of these farms. They want to put these farmers out of business. The farmers are standing up. They talked about, they showed the political reasons why. They showed how they're doing it politically. They showed the science behind it. They showed the, they had interviews with the farmers themselves. They showed them, you know, how they were fighting back against it. It was really inspiring. He also showed another snippet from one of the movies he's working on called Where Did My Period Go? That's showing about all the menstrual issues that women are having after that took the COVID vaccine. This one was mainly focused in France. So a lot of the, both of these movies were heavily subtitled, but if you could read and you hung in there and you wanted to watch it, and I watched both of the short films, they were really well done and extremely terrifying about the, where we're going. And those were the lead up to the movie that I really wanted to see, which was Jones Plantation. Jones Plantation is a full length motion picture film that just finished up. This is that just got its final edit, and this was the first time it was shown to the general public. It's based off of a 13-minute short animated video by Larkin Rose, and it's about a slave. It's about a slave plantation, a cotton plantation. And it do this. If you have fit 13 minutes, go search for it on, I don't know, whatever streaming platform or whatever video platform you use and watch it. It's not about cotton. It's not about black people. It's not about that type of slavery. It's about governmental slavery, but it uses the cotton plantation as a metaphor for that. And they turned it into this feature film, and Legal Man is Mr. Jones in it. He's one of the stars of the show. And I had him on this show before, and he's fantastic in it. He's not an actor. You wouldn't know it, man. It's so well done. You know, I didn't know what to expect. I thought maybe it was, you know, it's kind of a budget film. Some of the proceeds from the controlled demolition book that Berwick and I wrote, Jeff took a lot of money from that book and invested it, to the making of Jones Plantation. Right. So I'm, I guess sort of by default, I had some hand in the financing of that, but not directly. I mean, I knew Jeff was putting money from the book into that, and I was totally cool with it. And when this movie comes out, first of all, I'll try to get Larkin on when it really kind of comes out for a pub, you know, like wide distribution, I'll try to get Larkin on if he's interested in coming on and talking about it, or I'll get Lee to come back, Legal Man Lee, to come back on but God damn, it was good. It was so well done. And there's parts in the movie that just the audience was roaring, laughing, man. They nailed it on this one. They absolutely positively nailed it. So if you see a movie called Jones Plantation in the near future anywhere, maybe they'll get it on some streaming platform. Check it out for sure. You won't be disappointed. After that, on Wednesday, did OBDM. Jumped on that for a live stream because it's my favorite podcast in the world. I host three podcasts, but OBDM is the best podcast. My favorite podcast. So day four. This was this one I missed. I didn't get a chance to go see Mark Passio. I really wanted to. He did a Anarchy and the Occult presentation that was also kind of like almost like a workshop where you could really kind of get involved in the occult symbolism that is used and then he did a secondary presentation on psyops. You know, God knows we're living through enough of these psyops. Day four is called Sovereign Skills. So it was people like Mark Passio teaching you how to kind of translate and read all, you know, sort of read the messages and see, you know, what these symbols mean, the signs and symbols. I think he's probably the best guy at decoding that. If he's not the best, he's one of the best. They had the Anarchist panel. You know, the Anarchist was that 6-part HBO documentary series. They had that with Lily Forrester and Jason Hensa was there. I didn't meet Jason, but I did meet Lily. She was one of the producers of the event, and she was fantastic. And interacting with her was wonderful. And I'm glad to see she looks fantastic. And you know, I don't know if you guys saw that HBO special, but it was rough, man. It was some. I mean, for her, it had to have been like reliving trauma. Her boyfriend was fucking murdered by the cartel right in front of, and Hensa was shot too. And that was the whole thing that kind of got the mainstream media saying, oh, in Acapulco, you're going to go down there and get killed. And that was right in 2019, right before, like a week before in Acapulco kicked off. I remember going down there and everyone's like, are you sure you want to go down there? I'm like, I'm going, you know, and I never had any issues, but, Marjorie Wildcraft was speaking. She's going to be on this show as well. I knew her before we went down, but I had never met her in person. She runs the Grow Network. So she's going to talk about growing food and how important that is. And Mike Cobb from ECI Development was down there giving a presentation. He's been on the show before. They're building projects in Belize, Costa Rica, Panama, Nicaragua. Eventually they're going to do one in Mexico, but they kind of have their hands full with all their projects right now. I was able to talk to Mike and of course, you know, I love real estate. I work in real estate. I love international real estate, and I had land in Belize. So I'll chit chat with Mike about all that stuff because I'm fascinated. But ECI Development is the first developer to ever take crypto for their projects, and they still take crypto. You can buy yourself a condo or a 1.5 acre piece of land with a big mansion on it in Nicaragua. If you want to go down there and pay for it with Monero, you can do that. He'll take it. You want to pay for it with Bitcoin or Ethereum or whatever, they'll take it. They've been doing it. They sell most of their places that way. So, they again had the turtle release parties. You know, I'd mentioned that before when I was surprised that, you know, here I am coming to Acapulco the first time. And I'm like, you know, which way to the Molotov cocktail throwing contest? And they're like, what? You know, I mean, so like, that's not going on, but the releasing baby sea turtles into the wild, that's most definitely happening. The guys from Lieberland were there. Are you familiar with Lieberland? These mad scientists have created their own country. It's like in the border of like Serbia and Czech Republic. I might be getting those wrong, but they showed on the map and they showed on the map that, you know, where it's located. It's this just massive island. And they've got consulates in 70 different countries already right now. So they're like spreading the word, man. They're letting this, you know, kind of get out there. And on this day, this Thursday, I got invited to go out on Jeff's boat with all these guys, with a bunch of guys. So it was Dr. Andrew Kaufman, Larkin Rose and Amanda Rose, the Lieberland guys, Dan Dix and Amanda, Patrick Smith and Rebecca Toscani and Jeff and me. And we went out, you know, into the harbor of Acapulco, which I actually had never been to before. I mean, when I'd come for the other events, it was great, but I had never left campus to go explore what was going on. But we got a chance to see it from being on a boat, and we had the jet ski there and stand up paddle boards and all this stuff that we were doing. And then, and just talking and hanging out and everyone smoking cigars and drinking beers and doing what's going on. Jeff has been sober for 13 months, which is really great, man. I'm super proud of him. I know that's tough to do when alcohol is such a huge component of your life, and for it to not be is tough. It's tough for a lot of people, but Jeff looks great. He was present physically and mentally. And he enjoyed himself this time around, which is good. I know that the previous ones were very stressful for him. And I think he couldn't wait for them to be over, because then that, you know, he didn't have that stress. But this year he was really having a blast. And we wound up seeing whales when we were on the boat, mother humpback and her baby right out in front of us. And so we sort of followed them around with the boat for a while, which was amazing to see that. And And then got back and got dropped off at the hotel, and then went out for some street tacos with Dan Dix and Amanda and Dr. Andrew Kaufman, you know, Andy, just Andy, and Patrick Smith. Andrew Kaufman, he's coming on the show too. Andrew Kaufman's cool. I'm telling you right now, man. I know some people say, well, terrain theory, I don't know, I don't understand it, or it's bullshit or whatever. Look, I'm not a scientist. I don't know. He explained it to me on the boat like I was 3 years old, which was great. And it made a hell of a lot of sense. So he's going to come on the show and he's going to explain it to us again. And you tell me if you think it makes sense. He says viruses don't exist. I don't know enough about the science to say whether he's right or wrong, because I've grown up in a world where, of course, viruses exist, but you know, if you challenge me and you say, prove it, how could I prove it? Well, he says they don't exist, and he gave the reasons why, and he talked about terrain theory, and he's got a movie out called Terrain. And anyway, he's going to come on, but a fascinating guy, a really cool dude. You know, we talked about all kinds of things, and then went and got street tacos. And the guy knows how to roll a good joint. I'll tell you that right now, too. So, day five, Vitalidad. These were the health experts, man. This was like a all-star lineup for the health experts. We went with, Andy showed his, or Dr. Andy to you, showed his Terrain movie. And then there was a Q&A for that. He later did a presentation on a variety of things, but mentioning terrain theory was a component of that. Miriam Hanane was there. She's been on the show plenty of times. She's the bee lady. She was talking about how Western medicine has really screwed her up, and talked about all the poisonings that had happened through, talked about, you know, she's the director of Vanishing of the Bees. And she talked about how the poisonings of the bee colony collapse disorder was a component to, you know, how that was started by Bayer. And she really got involved with that. They didn't appreciate her doing that. She's an investigative journalist and has been for 25 years. Dr. Carrie Madej was there. She's nice too. She did a presentation on transhumanism, sort of human 2.0, the Yuri Hararo, that scumbag guy at World Economic Forum. She's talking about the direction that they want to take things with transhumanism, and why it's sort of, you know, it's anti-science, it's anti-God. You know, she's a Christian. You'll know that if you spend any amount of time with her, that becomes pretty obvious. And that, I think, plays a big role in her work. You know, she recently was in a plane crash. You know, she's been exposing a lot of things having to do with the elements that have been put into the vaccines and the unnatural components that are in the vaccines, and very vocal and getting a lot of traction and going all the big shows. And then her little plane crashes and she and her husband wound up living, but she was all fucked up from it. She's made a pretty good recovery right now. So she looked good, and we got a chance to meet. She'd been on the Union of the Unwanted. Ricky had invited her, but I never knew her, never really talked to her before, but I got a chance to during this. So watching her presentation was crazy, man. It was very enlightening, showing all of the electroscopic microscope, like these pictures of things that are showing up in the vaccines that are completely unnatural, and what they are and why they're there. And, you know, then it closed out with Del Bigtree. And Del, you know, Del brings the house down. He gave a really passionate speech about this, about how kind of something I had talked about. Like, the last time I was at Anarchapulco was February 2020. His last time Dell was there too. And he mentioned, like, we left thinking, like, some, you know, the world was relatively normal, but there, you know, we were just starting to hear a little bit about Wuhan, and we weren't really sure what that meant. And Dell was getting suspicious that it was going to be something that was going to, you know, the tail end of it was going to require like a mass vaccination campaign. So of course Dell's all over that. He's the director of Vaxxed, which is a tremendous movie. If you want to understand the vaccine industry pre-COVID, not, you know, take that out of it. This was pre-COVID. Watch Vaxxed and you'll understand how dirty it is, how the CDC and the VAERS court and how all the Health and Human Services, how they collude to make sure that you don't get real information on what vaccines are doing. It's a, you know, a multi-billion dollar industry. And like he rightly pointed out, once COVID came out, it's set to become a multi-trillion dollar industry. And how, you know, why we should be alarmed about this. Then they had the closing ceremonies for the whole event. And now I am going to attempt to wrap it up. And I mentioned that we were going to go full circle. I'm going to attempt something. I am going to attempt the impossible. Okay. I'm going to explain. I made an arrangement with Johnny Dollar to meet up with him right after sunset on Friday when, before the partying started, you know, at Max's bar, I was going to meet up at Max's bar, grab him. And then we were going to go down to the beach, which is, you know, literally, I could throw a baseball from Max's bar to the beach, you know. So he says, "Are you ready?" I said, "Yeah, let's go down to the beach." So there's one thing on my list that I hadn't checked off. I've ayahuasca and mushrooms and the peyote ceremony and the 5-MeO DMT and you know, you name it. If it's a psychedelic, I'm interested in it. I've always been interested in it. I fully recognize it's not for everybody. I think that you have to treat these things with respect, a ton of respect for them. You have to come at them from the right angle. But it was on my list was to smoke DMT because that's a very different way of doing it. And Johnny was able to make that happen. So we went down to the beach and I'm going to attempt to do the impossible, which is to try to explain a DMT trip. And God knows, I mean, if you've watched or listened to Rogan enough, you know, him trying to talk about DMT or all the people that have done it and come back with their stories about it. It's very difficult to encapsulate with language, but, we went down there, we got some towels. There's really nobody on the beach. It is, you know, sun had gone down, but there were these really bright stars and we walked out there. He goes, "Well, that's Venus." And he said, "That's Jupiter right above it." And it was, they were like in a straight line. He goes, "You never see that, you know?" And what was funny was that I just don't see stars. I'm too close to the city. I don't see stars in my daily life. I think that's probably really bad for my soul to not see that. But this night it was dark on the beach. All the, you know, all the stores were closed. There's nothing going on. And you could see a lot of stars. You could see all of these constellations, right? And it takes me back to, here we go full circle with this Jack Johnson constellations song. All right, so we get out onto the beach and he says, you know, "You're going to just take a hit." And it's a vape pen. It's DMT vape, right? And you're going to take a hit and take a breath and take another hit, and take a breath, and then take another hit and take a breath. And then we're just going to do that the first time. And then you just sort of close your eyes and you see how you feel. So we do that, boom, boom, boom. And then it comes on, you know, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. I don't know, real fast. It comes on and it is, when I got done the first time, I just turned to him and I said, "That is without a doubt the weirdest thing I have ever done in my entire life." And he just was laughing. He just thought that was so funny. I didn't know how else to describe it. Right. He said, "Okay, you're ready to step it up. Now we're going to go to are you ready to go to the next level?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm ready to go to the next level. Let's go." So then this time it was 8 hits and 8 breaths, you know, and it was like, boom, 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 boom. You know what I mean? And then when that kicks in, when that big one kicks in, all you hear is this, in your it's in your head, but it's this echoing that is so loud. And I remember he said you're gonna do this and then close your eyes and just lay down, right? So we had towels there, so I laid down, and it was like my body had been, I could feel it changing temperatures from my legs all the way up through my head and then back down. And I felt like I was on a, I felt like I was getting worked on. I felt like I was on a medical, like on a gurney, and I was getting worked on by a group of doctors. They were all sort of like, you know, like doing something. One guy was over here. And when I say guy, there was no beings or anything. There was no person. But whatever it was, it felt like it was surveying or scanning my body and looking for weak points and going in and tinkering, you know, like tightening up this side, you know, shaving down that side, moving this one a little bit around. You know, like if you're getting a car painted and there's like an automated paint arm that kind of goes around the car and sprays it and it's like, it's mechanical and it's doing, I felt like it was something like that, that was just going around and fixing me. And I felt this bright, intense light on the right side of my head. Now I have my eyes closed, but on the right side of my head, I could feel this almost like a train spotlight right in there, but it wasn't coming from the left side. So I could distinctly feel it on one side and everything was getting really warm. And then that disappeared. And then it was just geometrical patterns that were just flipping and laying out, earthy colors, oranges, reds, yellows, blues. If you've seen an Alex Gray painting, just like that. I mean, reds, oranges, and yellows. Very, very similar to that. And then it, boom, 5 minutes, it wears off, right? I sit back up and I just said to Johnny, like, how am I supposed to go back to reality after that? You know what I mean? Like, how do you do that? It's so unusual, you know, it's so unusual. And he said, we would talk for like 10, 15 minutes in between this. And I did five of these. Right, I did five sessions, each one increasing the dosage. You know, each one going more and more and more and more. And the last one, he goes, "All right, this time you're going to keep your eyes open. You're going to hit this thing as hard as you can, as much as you can, till you can't even like figure out what this thing is that's in your hand." You know what I mean? Like I just kept going, but you have to go fast, because that first hit is going to start kicking in. Right. And so you've got yourself like a 20, 30 second window of opportunity to hit it as deep as you can and breathe it out, and then get, you know, enough of lungs full of air, and then do another one as fast as you can. This, I kept my eyes open and I was sitting up. And after that last one, I didn't even look at him, I just stuck my hand over to the left and like handed him the pen. And the entire beach just went, you know, after that sort of echoing came in and it stopped, the entire beach just went, it turned into a grid, just a full grid. As far as I could see, everything on the beach was perfectly squared out. And then he goes, "Look up." And I looked up at the sky and I could see everything. I could see the grids of the universe. I could see all of the lines through the sky. You want to talk about simulation theory? I get it. We might be in a simulation. Because I felt like it peeled back a layer. It felt like if you were making a three-dimensional animation on your computer screen, you know, when they do that for movies, and they show that the first layer of that is like a grid sort of like the skeleton of it, but it's just kind of grid-like. That's what it was. It peeled an entire layer of reality back, and I could see the bones of it. I could see how everything was constructed. And I looked up at the stars, and the stars look like that, you know, those time lapse where they take a telescope and they point it up at the stars and it turns slightly over the course of hours, and then they'll play it and you'll watch it in like a 10-second clip and the whole thing looks like it's kind of turning with all the stars. I was looking up and I was watching it do that. And I was watching the sky open up and I could see even more stars back behind it. I could see the Orion's belt, obviously. I could see the Venus and Jupiter where they were because we had been watching them all night. But I could see millions of stars, and everything was moving. And behind them was this grid. And I couldn't really explain it. That's why I say I'm attempting to do the explain the unexplainable. There's moments in your life where you realize I'm in the middle of something I will never forget forever. Nobody will ever be able to take that away from me. I could go buy a nice watch and I could lose it tomorrow. I could never lose that memory. I could never unknow what I know. I could never unsee what I saw. And to sit there on that beach with Johnny Dollar for 2 hours, totally unbothered by everybody, beautiful night in Acapulco, Mexico, just a million stars above us, and have these conversations about what it all means and why we're here and how we ran into each other again, like we always do. I'll never be the same after that. And Johnny Dollar will be back on, and I'm sure we'll talk about it. And I know this maybe sounds like an infomercial for an Acapulco, and maybe it should be. I think everybody that comes gets something from it. Not everybody has the same trip. Not everybody has the same experience. But you leave there very inspired, and you leave there with a connection to people and a network of people too that's global in reach. And I am grateful for the experience. I'm humbled to be a part of that crew. To be asked to speak there is my pleasure. I will continue to go there. As long as I am asked to be there, I will be there. It's really a tremendous place. I think you too would probably feel like you were around your people, you know, like, go find your tribe, right? That's what they say. That's what all those hippies say. Go find your tribe. Well, that's a pretty good tribe to be a part of. You know, Ernie Hancock was the MC of it. He did a great job. Kat, Rebecca, and Kale, you guys, the producers, you killed it. You were great. Jeff, thank you so much for doing this every year. It's great to see you. I love you. You're like a brother. And I'm so grateful to be a part of that little world. And I think that if you guys were interested in getting away for a week and seeing what I was talking about, I think you probably would get it. And hey, if you like this episode or you want people to hear about this, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can follow me on Twitter at macroaggression, or go to the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.